It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Elder Luendo Lisimalambo, good afternoon to you. Welcome back and thank you very much for being patient with us.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, dear listeners world over, and good afternoon also to the SID Adventist World Radio media team in South Africa. It's good to have you once again this afternoon, and it's been an exciting, lively, and good week.
Indeed, indeed, Mdala. Now we're talking about the post-baptismal life. One would assume, again, I am moving from an assumption here, and you're going to educate us here, Mdala. One would assume that there should not be a difference between your life before baptism and your life after baptism. From the very moment you accept the Lord as your Savior, from the moment you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, your life is supposed to change, and baptism would presumably be a form of public disclosure that, guys, the life you've seen me change, it's now a fully committed relationship. I'm married to the Lord now. But then again, we're talking about a post-baptismal life as though it's something different. Do tell us what we are talking about here. What is this post-baptismal life?
Okay, so simply put, when we're talking about post-baptismal life, we are basically talking about a life after one has been baptized. Now, a life after one has been baptized should clearly bear the fruit of the Spirit. So it should be a life that is lived for God, a life that is lived in and for the church, and a life that is lived in the world and for the world. And we'll be able to unpack what we actually mean by that. In the questions that we are going to discuss, basically, as we look at, for example, the significance that baptism has to the post-baptism life.
Okay, so let's get into it. In what ways does the imagery of being buried with Christ and baptism impact one's understanding of living behind old ways and embracing new life?
Okay, number one, we know as we investigate the pages of Scripture, number one, we know that baptism is a symbol of Christ's death and resurrection. Then baptism is also a symbol of being dead to sin and being alive to God. Baptism also is a symbol of one entering into a covenant relationship with God. Baptism is also a symbol of one's consecration to Christ's service. Then baptism is also a symbol of entrance into God's church. Now, when we go to, for example, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, this is what the Bible has to say. Romans chapter 6, verses 4. This is what the Bible has, verses 1 to 4, Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Mm. So this is the Apostle Paul basically writing to converts to Christianity in Rome. And he goes on to say, God forbid. Then he provides the reason why those that have been born again should not continue in sin. So he says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in the newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Yeah.
And when we Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what?
New.
Become new.
Right.
And all things are of God, who has reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, clearly, we are told that when we are being baptized, when we are buried in the watery grave, it's as good as saying when Christ was buried after he died on Calvary's cross, we are buried with him. And when we rise in the newness of life, as we come up out of the watery grave, we are rising in the newness of life. And that ceremony is indicative of the inward change that has taken place in the human heart. So clearly indicating that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation and the old things are passed away. Okay. And by faith, we actually accept that God has forgiven us, has reconciled us, has declared us righteous, and we are now to walk in the newness of life, in the newness of life.
Mm. Okay. And then how does one's understanding of baptism contribute to a sense of responsibility towards the well-being of the church and its members?
Okay. Now, when one is baptized, they are basically born into the family of God. They are no longer isolated. They become part of the family of God. There are different imageries that are used in scripture. For example, when we're talking about in the book of Corinthians, the human body is used as a symbol of the body of Christ, where we are members. So we know the parts that make up of our body have got a specific function as they are part of this body and they are to be active. There's work that they are to do. Then the Apostle Peter also uses the image of a temple where we are living stones, part of that image of the temple where God actually resides. Now, when we become part of the family of God, there is responsibility that we bear in the family of God. We are, as we become part of the church, we are not to be inactive, we are not to be indolent, but we are to actively engage in the activities of the church. In acts of service and charity, we are to be proactive and active. We are to engage in Bible study, we are to pray, we are to engage in worship services. We must engage in ministry to those that are in needy and those that are poor. For instance, where I come from, at Charleston SDA Church, we have identified needy people like those that are in prison. So every Saturday in the afternoon, baptized members are encouraged to engage in missionary activities where we visit those that are in the holding cells. We share the gospel of Christ with them. We give them some food to eat as well, so that their physical needs can be met as well.
Mm.
Now, this is also for the purpose of developing the Christian graces that we receive as a result of becoming part of the family of God and being renewed in the Spirit and receiving the gift of the Spirit as well.
Okay.
So this is how I can put it, yes.
So the next question, I thought perhaps I would evolve it a bit. Should baptism mark the beginning of a journey of spiritual growth and transformation? I ask this, Dada, because, again, one would assume that one's journey does not begin with baptism, but it should begin with the acceptance of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So hence I'm evolving the question to, should baptism mark the beginning of a journey of spiritual growth and transformation?
Okay. That's a very interesting one. I can liken that to a relationship that takes place between a husband and a wife.
Okay.
Now, we know that the relationship is not basically ignited or made active at the time of the marriage. The relationship starts before the marriage, but it is officialized when the marriage actually takes place.
Right.
So in like manner, one's relationship with Christ has to begin before they are actually baptized. And
right.
the baptism is right. Like an initiation ceremony, a public confession.
That's it.
It's basically a ceremony, so to speak, where one is now introduced into the family of God. But that particular ceremony is evident of the inward change, which is invisible to the human eye, that right. has been taking place in the human heart.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. There's a beautiful analogy there, Mdala. That was very helpful. That's a beautiful analogy there. So in what ways should we see ourselves as a disciple of Christ, following his teachings and sharing the gospel as a result of our baptism?
Okay. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, Christ had this to say, which helps us also to set things into perspective as we look at the issue of baptism and one also being a disciple. Mm. Now, we know a disciple is someone who is not only a follower of Christ, but one who also seeks to become like Christ in character.
Mm.
Okay, so demonstrating the attributes of Christ.
Right.
Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always,
right.
even to the end of the age." Okay, so those that are to be baptized must be disciples.
Mm.
Okay, those that are to be baptized must be disciples. In fact, in other passages, we find that he talks about making disciples of all nations.
Mm.
Making disciples of all nations.
Right.
And he says, "Go therefore, teach them. Teach all nations, mm. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age."
Mm.
Now, let's put things into perspective. When we are born into the family of Christ, we are members of the body of Christ, and we know that our aspirations, our goals are no longer on self, but on Christ.
Mm.
So continually, as we read and study his word, we are being transformed and we seek to become like our master in character.
Mm.
But as we do that, there is this commission that lays also on our behalf as disciples, because this commission basically was given to Christ's disciples. So even as we are his disciples, we are to disciple other people. He that bears, he that is born of Christ is to bear much fruit. Now, we are to bear much fruit, not only in revealing the character of God in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, but we are to bear much fruit in winning souls for Christ.
Yeah.
So we are to disciple souls for Christ, and we are to win souls for Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that is one of the reasons why the spiritual gifts are also given to the church. For not only the benefit of the individual in them being able to grow spiritually, but also for the benefit of the church and also for the for its edification and the like. So as we exercise our spiritual gifts, as we are in the world but not of the world, winning others to Christ, we are also drawn to Christ. In fact, the joy that we experience as a result of discipling others is the joy that God basically experiences when sinners are being saved into his kingdom.
Right,
so we are made partakers of his joy.
Mm. Okay.
As well as we engage in these activities, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you, Mdala. Thank you very much. Now, please, as we conclude this conversation, I do wish to say before you pray, that your insights, your perspectives, your understanding, Mdala, was very helpful throughout the week. And may God continue to bless you as you continue to minister in other places, in other ways. Thank you very much. Please pray for us as we close, Mdala.
Okay, thank you so much. And I thank you so much also for the invite. It's been quite a wonderful experience. And I look forward to another invite as well. It's been good. You are such a great family. And I pray that God will bless you, enlarge your territory, and make you a great impact, not only in this world, but also even in the world to come.
Amen. Amen to that.
And we actually bless the name of the Lord and we praise his name. Shall we pray? Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your grace that has been abundant to us during the course of this week, in that you permitted us to have an opportunity to share from your word, which is truth, which is righteousness, which is holy, and which has got transformative power. We pray that what has been shared, what has been ministered, may bear fruit in our lives, and that you may prepare us for soon advent, and that we may truly understand the significance of baptism and its relation to our day-to-day work, to the values that we have, to the aspirations that we hold, and to our view of your second coming, and even to the true light of eternal things. and help us to put things in their right perspective, that we may continually be ministers of your gospel.
Right.
In Christ's name, your son, we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mdala, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day and prepare yourself for the Sabbath tomorrow. May you be blessed when you go there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless, and God bless to our listeners world over.
Amen. Amen, Mdala.